Welcome back to Pace Immigration, paceimmigration.com, talking to immigration lawyer Michael O'Rourke. Michael, good to see you.
Hey, Sean, how's it going?
It's going well. We're going to talk about the H-1B visa today because it's in the news a lot. There's a lot of people that are in some dire straits because of it or are at least worried about it. So today we're talking about alternatives to the H-1B visa for foreign workers. And the reason we're talking about alternatives is what I've got right here, which is a quote from the Business Standard. Mass tech layoffs have left hundreds of workers living in the U.S. on temporary visas with little time to find another job, or they'll have to leave the country. And many say they're getting inadequate guidance from the companies that sponsored them. There's some key words in there. One is we're here to give people some guidance, but the other is the sponsorship angle, which is vitally important to this H-1B subject. Michael, there's a lot of layoffs going on. One of the big news is Twitter right now has headlines for laying off a lot of tech workers. They're in the country on an H-1B visa. I've got what an H-1B visa is here. Give us some details on it.
Sure. H-1B is a specialty occupation visa. It basically means that you are doing bachelor degree level work in a recognized occupation. It can be almost anything, you have to show that you have the training and the education in order to do a professional level of work, or you're a fashion model.
Right. I put that up there. I put the quote from the USCIS website because it kind of sounds tenured, but it's interesting. Fashion models are tacked onto that.
Yeah. And not to detract from the work that fashion models do.
No, of course.
They of course, do important work. Right. But it is, and I think they were lumped into the H-1B category years ago, and they've just kind of hung around it. But generally, when I see an H-1B, it's usually for a degreed professional who's doing fairly high-level work. You can use H-1Bs for managerial-level occupations as well. It is one of the early paths to a green card for a skilled worker in the United States.
Right. Now, let's talk about the sponsorship angle and where these layoffs come in. So you're in the country on an H-1B visa. So let's take it first things first. So step one would have been that you needed to have that sponsorship to get that job and get that visa. Yes?
Exactly. So yes, you have to have a U.S. employer who's willing to pay you the prevailing wage in the area that you're working, and that the company is solid and solvent, and that they have the ability to pay, and that you have the ability to work.
Can you look for another job if you want to?
Yes, you can. You just have to find another U.S. employer who's willing to sponsor you, and then you have to file a change of employer petition with USCIS, and then you can move over to that new employer.
Okay, so maybe that's part of the alternatives that we're talking about. I don't know. We're going to get deeper into that. But people have been laid off, or they might be thinking that they might get laid off. Maybe times are tough, and they're worried that their H-1B will lapse, which means they have to leave the country. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay, so they're worried about that. They're looking for alternatives, and that's where we are. And take us through some of these. You sent me a list in an email. I've got them here in the bullet points. If you're listening on the podcast, you can go over to YouTube and look at them, but we're going to go through them step by step. The first one that we have here is AC-21. What's that about?
Sure. So that is AC-21 stands for American Competitiveness in the 21st Century Act. Everybody calls it AC-21. Right. And AC-21 has something called a portability provision built into it, which allows you to take your H-1B to a new employer. So if you get laid off, for instance, you have up to 60 days to find new employment, and that new U.S. employer has to then file a petition to sponsor you. So you can effectively move your H-1B over to a new employer.
Okay. The next one we have here, and I'm going to come back to that in a minute, but the next one we have here, because it's a lot more specific, we've got the H-1B1. Chileans and Singaporeans, obviously this has to be something you're from Chile or Singapore.
Exactly. You have to have either a Chilean or a Singaporean passport. It is a little bit more of a streamlined process than your standard H-1B. You don't have to get approval from USCIS, you can go and apply for an H-1B1 visa at a consulate abroad. So again, it requires a U.S. sponsor to give you a job offer, and then you're able to get this more streamlined H-1B1 visa.
Okay, we have here the E-3, the Australians, pretty similar to the H-1B1?
Exactly. Again, only for Australian passport holders, but requires a couple different parts of a petition, but not a pre-approval from USCIS.
Okay, and we have the L-1. We've done another video on this. I'll have a link down in the description people can click on. But the L-1, the intra-company transfer, you handle a lot of these.
Yes, handle a lot of these, and a lot of my clients do business across borders. So, for instance, if you are currently working in H-1B status and find that you're going to be laid off, and you've prospected a new job with a new employer, one thing that you could potentially do with that employer is agree to work abroad outside of the United States for a year, and then have them file a petition for you to come back into the United States as an intercompany transfer. Because for intercompany transfer, all you need to do is have worked one of the last 3 years outside of the United States for a related employer. So we talk with our cross-border U.S.-Canada clients a lot about using a North American strategy where they send a worker to Canada or elsewhere, but Canada is close and usually right. The time zones line up. They come, they work for a year, and then they go back into the U.S. as intercompany transfers, either for 5 or 7 years.
Interesting. Okay. And then we've got down here back to school.
Back to school. So if all else is lost and you don't want to leave the United States once you've been laid off, short of just changing your status to that of a visitor, which is a possibility, but it doesn't allow you to work, you could enroll in a master's program or PhD program. Anything post-secondary actually would work. There is something called curricular practical training or optional practical training, CPT or OPT, which allows you to work at times during the school year or after you completed your degree program. And that might be another way to meet a new employer, maybe go through the H-1B process or another work visa process in the United States. But round back through university is another way that people can keep a toehold in the U.S. and try and keep a career alive in the U.S.
Right. Let's take a step back to that AC-21 for just a second, because that one has that ticking clock on it. I just want to go into that a little bit to make it very clear to people. So if you're laid off, you're in the United States, you're working under an H-1B visa, the boss calls you in and says, hey, sorry, you know, times are tough and we've got to let you go. The clock starts from that minute. Is that what you said? I think 60 days?
Yeah, from when you receive the official layoff or if you're fired, then yes, 60 days.
60 days. And then your advice would be to what? So we've got this list here in front of people. Should they call you up and just start making some plans, or what ducks do you want to see in a row when they give you a shout?
So I can't really do much until they've gotten a new job. So if they find a new employer, then we can go to town. But just calling to me, you can cry on my shoulder and I will be sympathetic, I promise. But it's not going to help you without a job offer. And all of this, except for the back to school option, depends on a job offer.
Right. I mean, I don't want to sound like we're masters at giving career advice, but I think maybe if you do see a layoff on the horizon or you're getting some weird vibes in the office, it might behoove you to start maybe looking around for work now and then take care of the H-1B visa issue after you've found someone that's interested in hiring you.
Exactly. Especially in the tech world, things are contracting and the industry is shaking out a bit. So if you can jump to something else and you feel like it's right for your career and you find a willing employer, then yeah, I would definitely explore it. There are significant costs with filing a new H-1B petition, and a lot of employers don't want to take that on. However, there is also a concurrent labor shortage in the U.S., well, right, globally, really. So this may be a bad time for one employer, but a boom time for another.
Another question for you just occurred to me. So H-1B, let's say there's no fear of a layoff. Let's say you know you're going to have the job for years. You've got this H-1B. Are there people sitting on H-1Bs that should really be working towards getting that green card so they don't have this issues facing them, or what?
Yes. And really that opens up a huge discussion about what you can expect around a green card process and an H-1B. So the first step to getting a green card is to have your employer file an I-140. And that can generally take about 6 months. After the I-140 has been approved and there's more than 180 days that have passed, you can then use AC-21 to actually port that approval to a new employer and start the green card process over. But it really depends on your nationality. Where you were born determines what speed your green card is going to be processed at. So I've had clients who are born in India or mainland China who are in their 15th year of H-1B practically, because it's just so backed up for those nationalities, where say Canadians or Germans, they go through the green card process much, much faster because there are no per country limitations on them.
Wow, 15 years, that's incredible.
Incredible.
Hopefully you got in young and then you met somebody and then you got married and now you can get the green card. I mean, quite frankly, right? You
know, yeah. Marriage-based cases move faster.
That's the truth, yeah.
Start dating Americans.
Right. Okay, Michael, I appreciate all the information. I know there's some people out there that feel like the clock is ticking and they're probably really worried about it. But if there's one takeaway they can take from this, I guess it's that, hey, go out there, show your stuff, get on LinkedIn, do what you got to do and get that job offer.
Exactly.
It's the big one.
Yeah. And before we go, I do want to mention also that if you're a Canadian or a Mexican who might be on an H-1B, you could always look at TN for visas for another employer as well. TNs don't have the same clear-cut pathway to green card, but it is possible as well. So it's just something that we have to really be careful about the timing with when we look at that type of visa category. If the person's goal is to actually stay in the United States and become a green card holder.
Right. I mean, that's a great point. The TN visa is actually very powerful too. So at least in the short term, you could use it if it's available to you.
Exactly.
Okay. Michael, really appreciate it. MOrourke@pacelawfirm.com is how you can contact him. Check out all of our other videos for more information. And Michael, we'll talk to you soon.
Sounds great, John. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.